We've been looking at in the Bible, at the book of Joshua. We've been looking at this guy, Joshua, who was the successor to Moses. Moses has died. Joshua's leading the people into the promised land. And we've been looking at stories from that book and learning how we can be courageous. A number of years ago, I was a young guy. I wasn't married yet. I was actually dating Nancy. And I was stationed in Jacksonville, Florida in the Navy. And Nancy lived in Fort Meade, Florida. So I would get off work every day, on the weekends, you know, at the base, and I would drive as fast as I could to Fort Meade, Florida, and then stay as late as I could stay before I had to go back to the base. And so I had kind of a crummy car. So I bought a new car. It wasn't a new car, it was a new previously owned vehicle, and it was a used car, and I bought it, and man, it seemed like a great car, but it wasn't too long after I bought it that I noticed that the tread on the tires on the front of my car was wearing out, and then the next thing I know, I'm buying a new set of tires pretty quickly after I own the car, and then I had to buy another set of tires, and so something's wrong with the car. And then finally one day I'd come home and I left Nancy's house just as late as I could leave, on a Sunday evening, trying to get back to the base I had to be there by 8 o'clock on Monday morning. And so I'm driving on Interstate 4, going back to Jacksonville, and I'm between Orlando and Daytona Beach, probably somewhere out in the Lake Mary area. Now, if you've traveled on I-4, now this was 40 something years ago. Okay, there was nothing out there, okay? There was nothing out there. And the engine blew up on this car. And not only that, but it was a nice Florida day. It was 9 or 10 o'clock at night, thundering and lightning, rain coming down in buckets, and I'm on the interstate, and my car is broken down. Make a long story short, I had to get a ride, and I had to call home, and you didn't have cell phones. I had to get a state trooper gave me a ride to an exit, and I had to sit and wait for somebody to come, and got the car back, and then had somebody look at the car, only to find out that I had been duped. You ever been duped? That car had been wrecked big time. The frame was bent on the car. And so it cost me a lot of money to get the frame straightened out. And ended up getting rid of the car. But I was really duped, and I had been taken advantage of, and did not realize that that was happening to me when I bought the car. Now, I know what some of you are thinking right now. You were an idiot to buy that car. Some of you are saying, you know, you're being real critical right now. But before you get too critical, I want you to think about your own life right now. Because I'll guarantee you that most of you in this room have been punked at some point in time. Somebody took you, right? Something happened, you got deceived, right? I mean, all of us, it happens to everybody. Something happens. No, for you, maybe it wasn't a car, maybe it was a diet plan. Yeah, you bought it. You were sure it was gonna work. Maybe you got in one of those deals where you were selling it to everybody else. It's just too good to be true. Guess what? Growing up, I was always told that if something's seems too good to be true, it probably is. Maybe you hired an unlicensed contractor to work on your house or build a house or something. Maybe you entered into some kind of a business deal with someone and they didn't turn out to be exactly what you expected, and they took your money and maybe even a little bit of your reputation. Maybe you entered into a new relationship and everything seemed great and the first impression was good, but they didn't turn out to be exactly what, you know, they showed up on the first date, they didn't look exactly quite like the picture on the dating website. You know, the list could go on and on, but maybe you got hoodwinked, right? Maybe you got taken. Let me ask you this question. Maybe you're here today and you're a believer. You're a follower of Jesus Christ. You've placed your faith and your trust in Jesus. But have you ever made a decision that's contrary to what you believe? Have you ever allowed Satan to deceive you? Have you ever allowed him to twist things around and to get you headed in some direction that you don't expect to go? I think we've all experienced deception in our life and maybe even spiritual deception. Have you ever been duped taken advantage of, deceived. And if you're a Christian, what do you do with that when that happens in your life? If you're a follower of God, what do you do when that kind of thing happens? Makes you scratch your head, right? Well, today we're going to take a look at why and how this happens in the lives of people that follow Christ. And what we're going to see is that it has everything to do with something called truth. We're going to find out that truth is really important in our lives, and we're going to see that when we don't follow truth, that bad things happen. Because as Christians, we claim to believe in and live by a set of truths, right? We claim to live by this truth of God's Word. We've put our faith and our trust in Christ, and we claim to live by His guidelines and His principles and the things that He's lined up for us. But the enemy tries to do anything that he can. Satan tries to do anything that he can do to keep us from living by God's truth. And he will get into your life, and he will deceive you, and he will trick you, and he will lead you in directions that you don't want to go. He just tries to do anything. And if we're not careful, he will twist our thinking. He will cause us to make bad decisions. And we'll find ourselves in a place that we never expected to be. It's easy to be deceived. I just described how I was deceived buying a car. That's a simple thing. But it's easy to be taken, even in our spiritual lives. And I'm going to give you a statement this morning that I'm going to repeat throughout this sermon today. And I want you to write this down. And I've said this before. This isn't new, what I'm about to tell you. But some of you maybe have written it down in the past, but maybe you've forgotten about it. But I want you to listen to this, because this is a truth that you can take with you for the rest of your life. This will never change. And this is it. If you take away the truth, you will get taken. If you take away the truth, you'll get taken. Today we're going to look again at this story of Joshua. And as he leads the people into the promised land, Moses has died, Joshua is the leader. He's leading them into the promised land. And now at this point in the story, it's really exciting story. And this would make a great movie. I mean, you know, they've gone across to Jordan, they're in the promised land, they come to Jericho, God gives them instructions, they march around the city, blow ram's horns, yell, the walls come falling down. Then they go to the next city. They don't really consult God about what to do there, and they take matters into their own hands, and plus they sinned against God in Jericho and took some things that were devoted to God, and so now that they had to suffer the consequences, they go up to this little city called Ai, and they're defeated. Then they come back, they deal with the sin. Sin is dealt with, there's repentance, and now they're communicating with God again, and God sends them back into Ai, and they destroy Ai. So now they're destroying all the cities that they're coming into contact with. Well, guess what? When you marching into a territory with an army and you are taking over all the places that are in front of you, the people that are down the road start hearing about it, right? And so these other kings in the area, they begin to hear about this thing that the Israelites are doing. So the kings start forming an alliance, and they start coming together and figuring out how they're going to deal with the Israelites when they get to their city or their town. What are they going to do? Sounds like a logical thing to do. But there's one group of people that they decide not to join in with all these other kings. That they decide that they're going to do things a little differently. And they come up with their own plan. And that's what we're going to look at today, is their plan. Because they planned to use deception to deceive the Israelites. And they're looking out for themselves. They don't want to be destroyed when this army comes, so they're looking for another way to approach this instead of banding with all the other kings to fight against Israel. And so today we're going to take a look at this. And the first thing that I want you to see is this. Trusting in God's truth is always important because, listen to this, deception generally comes when we're not aware of the truth or we disregard the truth. We usually are deceived, we're led astray, we give in to temptation when we're not aware of the truth, we don't know what the truth is, or we disregard the truth that's in front of us or that God has given us. Joshua 9, verses 3 through 6. Listen to this. It says, but when the inhabitants of Gibeon, okay, this is the people that decided to do, these are the people that decided to do things their own way. They weren't going to join with all the other kings. They were going to come up with their own plan. And what a plan it was. I want you to listen to this. But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, okay, they've heard that these boys are bad. They're just tearing everybody up. They're destroying cities. When they heard this, They on their part, acted with cunning. That means they came up with a devious plan, okay? And they went and they made ready provisions and they took worn out sacks for their donkeys and wineskins, worn out and torn and mended, and worn out patched sandals on their feet and worn out clothes. And they took all their provisions and they took dry and crumbly provisions. So what are they doing? Well, they've made themselves look like they're worn out, like they've been traveling for a long time, like they're not from around there, that they've been, you know, they've been traveling. Oh, our bread's all crumbly, our clothes are all messed up, our animals look weary, and they put on this ruse. They just pretended to be all tired and worn out from traveling a long way. And listen to verse 6. And they went to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal, and they said to him and to the men of Israel, we have come from a distant country, so now make a covenant with us. So this group of people, the Gibeonites, they've heard of Israel's battle victories, and they can see that they're no match for Joshua's army. And so they pretended to be from another country far away, and they put on old clothes, packed moldy bread, you know, packed old wineskins to make it look like they've been traveling a long way. And then they lied about who they were, and they asked Joshua to enter into an alliance with them. Joshua 14 and 15. So the men, okay, took some of their provisions. Listen to this statement. But they did not ask counsel from the Lord. Now remember when they went to Ai the first time and they got defeated? They didn't ask counsel of the Lord then either, did they? And things didn't work out so well. Now here they are, I guess they're slow learners, that they're not asking counsel from the Lord. So Joshua makes peace with these people and he made a covenant with them to let them live. And the leaders of the congregation swore to them. So here's Joshua entering into an alliance with these people. Now this is a big problem, a really big problem, because God had commanded Joshua not to enter into an alliance with any of the people in the land. They were supposed to go into these cities and take the city. They're supposed to go in and march in just like they have at Jericho and Ai, and they're supposed to take the city. But now they've entered into an alliance with these people. These people have lied and said that they're not even from around the area. And Joshua didn't do any research. He didn't do any digging into the situation. They didn't seek counsel from God to see what God had to say about it. They just right away just said, okay, we're going to enter into a covenant with you guys. We're not going to take you. We're not going to hurt you. They just did exactly what God said don't do. They just did what God said don't do. They didn't ask God about it. And in other words, Joshua disregarded God's instructions, don't enter into an alliance, and he made a hasty decision. Let me just tell you something. Those two things are a formula for disaster. When you don't seek God's direction and you make hasty decisions, it always leads to trouble. I bet if we went around the room, you could tell me some stories this morning. I can tell you some stories about when I didn't seek God's direction and when we made hasty decisions. It never turns out good. When you disregard the truth, when you're not aware of the truth, it's really easy to be deceived. In our lives, it's exactly the same. In my life, in your life, it's exactly the same. If you disregard the truth of God, if you don't live by God's word, Satan will pounce on the opportunity to deceive you. He will jump on the opportunity to lead you in a direction that you don't need to go. He wants to hoodwink you, to dupe you, whatever you want to call it. He wants to punk you, whatever you want to call it. In today's vernacular, he wants to mess with you and deceive you. And if you're not continually growing in your understanding of God's truth, if you don't know that, the enemy will use your lack of awareness against you. He'll do that. And usually he'll start with something small. He doesn't usually just jump on you. He kind of eases into it very often. You know, he'll make you think that it's only texting, right? We're not sending any inappropriate messages. We're just joking around. He says, he'll have you say, it's only a speed limit sign. What's the big deal? Everybody cheats on their taxes just a little bit, don't they? That's okay. It's just small, insignificant, seemingly innocent things, but the deception gets started. Doesn't seem like a big deal. You just remember something. You take away the truth, and you'll get taken. It's the way it always works. Deception generally comes when we're not aware of the truth or we disregard it. The second thing that we see here is that trusting in God's truth is important because when we are deceived, when we move in the direction of deception, when that happens, when we take it away, there are always consequences. There are always consequences. Now, my little situation with the car was not a real spiritual thing, but I was duped, right? I was taken, I was deceived about the car, and there were consequences. I had to buy two new sets of tires, and my car engine blew up in the middle of a thunderstorm at 9 o'clock at night between Orlando and Daytona. Just try that sometimes. It'll bless your heart. I'm gonna tell you that God was with me that night, and I'm gonna tell you why I know that. Because I literally, my car died and I pulled over to the side of the road. It's thundering and lightning and storming and there is nothing out there. And I just prayed. I bowed my head in my car and I said, God, you gotta help me out. I'm in bad shape. And lightning struck, and you know how it does when it lights everything up? And I'm looking out my car window and lightning struck, and sitting directly beside me in the median was a state trooper. I got out of my car, I walked over, knocked on his window, he rolled it down about that far, bless his heart. I mean, he was just such a nice guy. It's storming, raining, he's going, yeah, what can I do for you? I'm out in the middle of nowhere, what are you, my car's over there, so what do you think? I just, you know. But anyway, he was a nice guy, gave me a ride back to an exit, because you had pay phones, you didn't have cell phones, and I ended up getting it all taken care of. But there were consequences to being duped. And if we're duped spiritually, there are consequences. There are always consequences. Listen to 16 through 21. At the end of 3 days, after they had made a covenant with these people, they heard that they were their neighbors. Uh-oh. Now they go, oh, these people have lied to us. We've been deceived. These people really are inhabitants of some of the cities that we're supposed to overthrow. And the people of Israel set out and reached those cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Chephirah and Beeroth and Kiriath-Jearim. But the people of Israel did not attack the cities, right? Because the leaders of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. Then all the, now the consequences start. Then all the congregation murmured against the leaders. Now the people are upset with Joshua because he didn't handle it the way he should have handled it. And so now there's a new tension to deal with, disgruntled followers. But all the leaders said to the congregation, we've sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel, and now we may not touch them. This we will do to them. We're going to let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath that we swore to them. And the leaders said, we're going to let them live. Okay, and here's what happened. So they became cutters of wood and drawers of water. So they worked for the Israelites, for all the congregation, just as the leaders had said of them. Now, God's plan was for Israel to take over the promised land and not to form alliances with any of the people. But now things have changed because of deception, because they've been deceived, because they had been fooled. Now things have changed. They can't take over the Gibeonite cities because they've sworn before God to enter into a covenant with these people. Now the people are murmuring against the leaders, so now there's this new tension to deal with, the consequences. And now these people who do not serve God are living in the camp of the Israelites. and mingling with the Israelites. Israel's been deceived, and there are consequences. You see, when you or me, when we are deceived by Satan, there are always consequences. Because when we're deceived, it always leads to sin. And there are always consequences to sin. You know, it started as a lunch, just a nice lunch. But then it became more than one lunch. And then it's something more involved. And then at some point in time, there's a line that's crossed. And now lives are destroyed and families are destroyed, all because of the deception of the enemy. And it started with an innocent lunch. You don't even know how you got there. What in the world happened? Now the fallout's huge. And we see that kind of thing all the time. And it's something now that you got to live with. There's a new tension to manage, more stress in your life. Now lies have to be told to cover up what's happened. And you got to live with the consequences. And it all started because of the mishandling of truth. Take away the truth, and you will get taken. So what do we do? What can we do? How do we keep the enemy from pulling the wool over our eyes? How do we keep from being deceived? Well, remember why we get into trouble in the first place. Deception comes when we're not aware of the truth, or we disregard the truth. So it seems like the obvious answer is that we need to be aware of the truth. We need to be aware of the truth. We need to learn God's truth and grow in that truth. God has revealed his truth to you and me in Scripture. We have the Word of God. He's given us guidelines and principles to live by, commands, and all these things are there to help you and me live a God-honoring life and to live a life where we can have a foundation for our life, where we can know we can always go to the truth, and the truth is always going to be there. It's going to be an anchor for us. It's going to be a place that is always right and always true. So whatever decision we're facing in life, whatever that thing is that we're thinking about, if we're faced with a big decision, what do? We always go to God's truth. We always go to the Word of God. See what God has to say about this. And it's crazy because I think that so many people today aren't aware of the truth. Why? Because they're never reading it and they're never studying it. You can't just show up to church like on a Sunday and say, well, I got a little of God's truth. It's not enough. That's why we as a church provide the resources that we provide for you. Well, we have women's Bible study, men's Bible study, small groups so that you can get involved in these studies and grow deeper in the truth. Because when you know the truth, you know, we hear the truth will set you free. The truth will keep you from falling into Satan's deception trap. When he comes at you and throws things at you, tempts you with certain things. You know, if you've studied the Word of God and you're in the Word of God, God will bring that to your recollection and let you use that as a tool to keep you away from the deception. And you need it. We all need it. That's why we are always talking about getting involved in groups. It's why we're always talking about going to Bible studies. It's why we've invested in putting a resource room across the hall so you can go there and get good, solid, biblically based resources to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why we have a counseling center. That's why we have discipleship pastor and student pastors and children's pastors and executive pastors and all the pastors that we have around here. Everything we do in this place is to help you grow deeper into truth so that you can know when you're being deceived And when Satan is messing with you, because let's listen to me, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. He's never going to stop doing it until you take your last breath. And so we need to grow in truth. You've got to be aware of the truth. You've got to know what the truth is. But it's not enough to just know what the truth is. You've got to live the truth. You've got to live the truth. You know, James, the book of James in the Bible, James was the half-brother of Jesus Christ. And James did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah until he saw Jesus resurrected. And then he became a believer. And he wrote in James, he says, don't just be hearers of the word, be doers of the word. We've got to live our lives by God's truth. And if we'll live our lives by God's truth, and we'll learn about God's truth and grow in God's truth, if we will do those things, then we have awareness, and then we know what's going on, and then we can fight the devil. We can fight him when he comes at us. And so, and he's going to do that. And he can deceive you so easily. He knows what your weak spots are, and he'll mess with you. He knows what your strengths are. And I'm going to just tell you something. All people always say, you better be careful. If you're weak in an area, the devil will come after you. Let me tell you something. If he knows you're strong in an area, he'll come after your strength because he knows that you don't think you're vulnerable there. But he will deceive you. I bet you, every one of you right now, I bet you all of you could tell a story of someone that you know that's been deceived, or you've been deceived yourself. Yeah. You've been fooled. Satan has fooled you. He made it look like a good thing. He made it look like an innocent thing. He made it look like it was harmless. But boy, if you could go back and do it over, you'd do it over a different way. All of us in our lives have had those situations and those circumstances. You need to get involved in a small group. We talk about that all the time. It's not just something we want you to do. You know, here's what I think sometimes. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But I just think sometimes that folks, not all of you, but some of you, some people, you just listen to like the preacher get up here, right? And he says, we would really like you to be in a small group. And you think, well, they just want us in one of those groups. No, listen, you don't get in a group because I want you in a group. Get in a group because you need to be in a group. Yeah. Get in a group because you need to be in there studying the Word of God so that you can know when you're being deceived. You don't do it because you think it's going to make me smile. I might not even smile. But I will smile when I see Satan throw a dart at you and you go, oh, no, old boy, I know the truth. That'll put a smile on my face. You need to be in women's Bible study, ladies, if you're here. You need to be going to that. And you don't need to start and quit 3 weeks later. You need to, I'm just letting you know a little secrets here, okay? But you need to hang in there. It's always fun those first couple times when you jump, Brother Danny, when you jump into something. It's always real exciting and fun. Everybody's motivated. But then after they do it 2 or 3 weeks, it's like, hey, well, I think I'll just stay home and watch Netflix. Yeah, that'll get you saved. Oh, and for those of you who say, I don't have Netflix, well, you have Amazon Prime, so you're not off the hook. You're not off the hook. You know, some of you are still in your cable, so you're not off the hook either. So, yeah. Sometimes we just need to be reminded. Sin is sin, right? Okay. But if we're growing in God's truth, you won't steal cable. No, I'm just but if you're growing in God's truth, you're going to learn and want to learn and have a desire to learn. And that's the only way you're going to keep from being deceived. That is it. There is no other way. Do you think it would make a difference if we all took this to heart? What if we grew in God's truth? What if you grew? Do you, you know, this whole series is about being courageous. Do you think that you might be more courageous? Do you think you might have more courage to face the stuff of life if your life was grounded in truth? If you knew there was a source that you could go to that never changes, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's a source that when you follow it, makes your life pleasing to God. It is a source that will keep you out of trouble. It's called God's truth. It's found in the scriptures, in his word. So I want to encourage you today. Grab hold of this. Because if you take away the truth, I promise you, you'll get taken. Spend some time every day in God's word. Get involved in a small group, in a heart group. Get involved in women's Bible study. Get involved in men's Bible study. Find some people to do life with and get together. That's what it's about. It's about growing in our relationship with Christ so that when the devil begins to deceive us and when he tries to dupe us, when he tries to cause us problems, that we'll have this word richly buried down inside of us that we can use to fight the enemy and to guide us in the right direction. You know, the biggest deception and the biggest lie that Satan tells us is that we don't need Jesus. And maybe some of you are here today and you've never put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You've been deceived. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to get to the Father is through me. There's only one way to get to heaven, that's through Jesus Christ. There's only one way to have the Holy Spirit of God inhabit you day in and day out, live inside of you to help you deal with the stuff of life each and every day, and that's through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't have that relationship, I want to invite you today to enter into that relationship. If you sincerely and genuinely and honestly desire to have a relationship with Christ, the Bible says it this way. It says, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So today you can put your faith and trust in Jesus. You just need to pray and ask for forgiveness of your sins. And I want to help you today. I'm going to pray. And if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Christ, but maybe God has spoken to you today and you can feel him tugging at your heart and you desire a relationship with him, you pray with me right now. And if you're here today and you have a relationship with Jesus, you pray for the people that are praying right now, that prayer. Just pray with me. Just say, Jesus, I am a sinner. God, I've been deceived by Satan. But today the deception ends because today I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. I'm asking you to cleanse me of my unrighteousness. I'm asking you to save me. And God, with the knowledge that I have right now, the understanding of you that I have right now, I'm taking a step forward and I'm committing my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen.